kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm about half dead, but at least I'm not three quarters dead. So, you know, it's all up from here, right?
No, because Jacob's here. Jacob, how are you doing?
Oh, let's go down.
I was about to say, I have to be on here with Cole, so naturally my optimism is going down as well.
I am a beacon of joy, sir.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I hop out, yes, it is rather joyful when I don't hear you.
I didn't say when you would be happy, just that my presence would eventually make you happy in some capacity.
In due time.
Yeah. There would hit a point where you were like, ha, and that would be because of me in some way.
Well, yes, because I don't have to deal, it's, you know, my weekly dealing with Cole is over. Uh-huh. It's wonderful.
I'm not wrong. May not have been right in the way I'd like to be right, but I ain't wrong, and that's what's important, because then otherwise I'd have to change my middle name.
Yeah.
Because my middle name is always motherfucking right.
Is that on your birth certificate?
Maybe.
It should
Can't be giving out my government name on here. Joe's done it a few times. God damn it.
You can't blame me.
To be fair, it's not my government name anyway, so it's fine.
Not even
the Facebook name is my government name.
I'm not
everything
scared.
Everything I know about Cole is a lie.
True.
He's not even Southern.
Nope.
Well, actually,
New York City.
Oh my God! Anyway, you two have a decision that you have to make for me tonight.
Oh, fuck.
I get naked.
No, I ordered from a website called World Snackin', which deals in like snacks from around the globe and
holy
boutique
shit,
sodas and.
Wait,
I said, "Holy shit! What a name!"
Yeah, World Snackin'.
World Snackin'.
Yeah.
Are they like sponsoring us or something? Or
no, I ordered some stuff and I want you to choose what I drink tonight.
Okay.
Well, this isn't exciting.
The choices.
Is one of the choices rat poison?
I mean, it can be.
Ooh, I want some of these things.
Okay, so first choice is rat poison.
NyQuil.
First choice is rat poison. Second choice, Mountain Dew Passion Fruit Frenzy from New Zealand.
Okay.
Or Mountain Dew Supernova from Finland.
What's
that? That's sold out. I'm sitting here looking at this one, and it's sold out.
Yeah, I got the last one.
Oh, fancy.
It is raspberry lemon.
I'm on with raspberry lemon as well.
Raspberry lemon.
Now, are you saving these cans for anything?
A bottle.
Probably.
Okay.
Supernova is a bottle, but I'm probably keeping it. Yeah.
Okay, because I was gonna say, I mean, like, you don't just order international shit like this and not save the can or bottle or whatever.
Did you know you can just go on Amazon and order great big Dagashi boxes, and they'll just send you shit tons of snacks from all over the place, and they're like 20, 30 bucks depending on how big a box you get.
Ooh, this smells good.
Number one, I do that all the time.
Joe just rubbed his taint.
It's a lot tartar than I expected, but it's good.
Oh, I bet I'd like it then. I always get so disappointed in lemon stuff, and people are like, oh, it's just right, not too tart. And I'm like, you weakling.
You pussies.
Like, I'm the kind of person.
So.
My idea of, like, when I sit down, okay, I love lemon, and I eat lemons just cut up, raw lemon.
Yeah, I think we've gone over that on the show before.
And then I dip them in salt before, so they're more sour.
Yeah, that's a southern thing.
Oh. My mouth is watering just thinking about it. I don't have any lemons.
I'll be honest. Like, at first I thought you said, I love women. And I was just like, huh, this conversation got a lot more interesting. And then I realized you were talking about lemons. And I was just like, oh.
Close enough.
My response to that is any port in a storm.
So. Yeah, that's actually a good segue, because speaking of life delivering us lemons, that leads to the news this week.
Okay.
Wait, are we doing news too?
Yeah, moron.
It's Thursday. Numb nuts.
Oh, damn. I didn't realize you strung me in for the news. Dang it. All right, fine. Let's do the news.
You did. Sit down.
Buckle up, Flut Puppy. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
How do I get strung into these things with this show?
Because I said, are you joining us tonight? And you said yes.
Damn it.
Yeah,
damn me and my agreeability.
I'm looking over the news of the week. There's a lot of bad news this week.
Are you talking about video games still? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of bad news happened this week in video games. The big news of the week, Halo Infinite has been delayed to 2021. Not even a month, just in the year 2021. So who knows when the hell Halo Infinite's coming.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, like, when they announced that, like, I even saw, like, the apology that they posted to the Halo Facebook page, and I was just like, like, I mean, you guys are treating this like it's a death in the family, and it's just like, dude, just stop. I mean, like, we're very sorry, you know, like, they're treating it like they just let everyone down, and it's just like, dude, I'd rather have you hold it off for another year and deliver a game that's not complete shit than, like, a subpar experience. Like, you're fine.
You gotta wonder, like, though, what's gonna be the killer app for the Series X now at launch? They don't have anything.
Hellblade.
I don't think Hellblade's a launch title, is it?
I don't care. It's gonna be Hellblade. Here's my little hot take over Halo, okay? Ready? It didn't look bad, but we've reached a point in gaming where when it comes to anything involving shooters, if we don't see every motherfucking pore on their face and it's not all gritty and sandblasted looking, then we think it looks cheap or fake or bad. And so people were giving grief to Halo Infinite because it was pulling its visuals to look more like a more updated Combat Evolved. And they were wanting this gritty, you know, Master Chief with, like, busted up armor that's been hastily repaired and some shit.
And scars, because scars are cool.
And it's like, because they weren't able to see every pore on the one human dude's face, and they were like, oh, this is garbage! And I'm like, I don't understand why you guys are mad. They also it looks great.
Didn't they also say, like, this is alpha footage?
Yeah. It's like, people really underestimate how much goes into crunch, too, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, as soon as I heard, oh, this is an alpha build, I'm just like, oh, okay, cool.
And I can guarantee you, what they showed in that video was probably, like, it's already come leaps and bounds since that point in the last, they probably made that video 6 fucking months ago. With whatever was there. And so what we would have in development at this point probably isn't all that close to what was there, but it was somewhere in line with it, right? They just wanted to show off some kind of gameplay. But then everybody, like, freeze frames and you know, CSI enhances every little pixel and nitpicks it. And then they're like, well, fuck it. If you hate it that bad, I guess we'll wait a year. And who knows what we could have got in a couple of months could have been really fucking awesome, but we won't know because Twitter has to do what Twitter's gotta do and rip it apart. Like, they can't just let it's so funny to me because the same people who'll be like, don't put accessibility options in games, don't put an easy mode, make it to where let the developers choose how they want the game to be, and then the developers choose how they want the game to be, and then these people go, this is horrible, this isn't what I wanted, what's wrong with you?
Can you talk like that for the rest of the show?
No, that takes a lot of breath. But it's true. It's true. And we will never know what it really could have been if they'd just been left to their own devices, because now they have to just throw their hands up and go, well, I guess we got to put in some more pores.
We need more stubble.
Yeah. And it's so ridiculous. Like, I can understand, not to the degree still, but at least a little bit, where people go, oh, well, you know, I didn't like the way Sonic looked in the movie because they changed this or that. Like, some of those things were legitimate reasons to be like, ah! But, like, the stuff that people complained about with Halo Infinite, I'm going, I don't get it. It looks fucking awesome. I want to go shoot these grunts. Bitch, where's my birthday party skull?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I'm here.
Yay!
You know, but, and at the same time, like, I'm fine with them delaying it and making it better. But at the same time, I just kind of feel bad because it's like, what could we have had?
No. Yeah. We'll never know.
Well, never. I don't know. I could know. I could ask Ruby, I guess.
No, Jesus. That's cheating.
Then I wouldn't be allowed to tell anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Cheater.
We look forward to that exclusive scoop 15 years from now.
When I'm finally allowed to say something about it. When the Microsoft robots leave me alone.
Yeah. Speaking of Microsoft and their robots, some more bad news on the Microsoft side of things. Forza Horizon 3 will be reaching end-of-life status on September 27th, meaning the game and all DLC will be removed from sale. If you want something, get it now. And everything is on sale, too.
Yeah.
The Ultimate Edition is like $21 right now. And that doesn't include everything, or...
I don't know.
I don't think it does. I think there is like one of the, I think one of the passes is not included in it.
I don't think it includes the two DLCs. It includes the car pass, but the Forza Horizon 3, the original Ultimate Edition, didn't include the expansions. Yeah. But I know some of the bundles that they sell, like the Forza 3 and Forza Horizon 4 Ultimate Edition bundle, it includes the expansions. So it depends on what bundle you're getting. So pay attention to what you're buying, but if you're going to get it now, because you only have a little over a month and then it is gone for good. And as my one buddy Glenn found out, you don't want to miss out because he has the original Forza Horizon and he can't get all the achievements because he missed out on some DLC. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Well, wait. Oh, and it's not on disc?
No. Nope. Same with Forza Horizon 2, Fast and Furious Forza Horizon. Those are gone for good. That's the sad part about video game licensing is things disappear.
Yep.
Well, wait. You can still re-download them, can't you?
If you bought them, yeah. If you didn't buy them, you're SOL.
Okay, usually they'll make Forza Games of Gold right before it hits its end of life.
I was expecting it this month, but maybe they're not doing it with Horizon 3.
Maybe next month. Well, they might do it
for September.
Or they might be, I don't know, they're expecting another big hullabaloo in November, so, you know.
Well, yeah, but it'd
be gone.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, I don't know.
August was like the last month. Technically, they could do it September, but it gets removed on the 27th. What would they do about the rest of the month?
Good point.
So I think they're just not doing Horizon 3 as games with gold.
Huh.
Shitty, but oh well. It's only $20 for the Ultimate Edition, so grab it. Mm-hmm. I still prefer 3 over 4, actually.
Yeah.
I thought 3 was amazing, and the map, I think, is just so much better.
Yeah, I think I own Forza Horizon 3. I think I do. But I didn't buy the Ultimate Edition for because I think I got one of those bundles that you had talked about. But yeah, it's just like if you price out all of the DLC, it's still worth your money to just get the Ultimate Edition and just technically rebuy the game.
Yeah. So don't miss out on that. More bad news for video game fans. Remedy and 505 have come out stating that the Remedy series or the Control Series X and PS5 free upgrades will only apply to those who buy the brand new Ultimate Edition of the game. For original owners of the game, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
How shitty is this news?
It's pretty fucking shitty. I mean, as I already commented up on our Twitter account, I was just like, ah, cool. Good to know I have no reason to purchase this game until I get an Xbox Series X. Great. Like, congratulations, you're not getting my money. And when you do, it'll be because it's on sale.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people. Apparently, Control was just on deep discount on PS4 like last week. And a lot of people bought it. Now they find out that they're not getting the free upgrades. That is some bullshit.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
Well, they still have time. They've got time to reverse their stance.
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully 505 and Remedy listen to the backlash and change their stance and give everybody the free upgrade, because if it's only for the Ultimate Edition, I have zero interest in it. I'll do what I do with Avengers, and I'll just fucking skip it.
Yep.
Good talk. Okay.
No, because I was just
letting you go, and I thought Jacob was going to interject, and then he didn't. Well, I was like, well, too late now. I'm committed to being silent.
Well, Joe brought up Avengers, and I was just like, oh, yeah, it's a Square Enix game. Sometimes we get Square Enix games. I should ask Joe if I could get the review copy for that.
Dude, we haven't gotten a Square game in months. It's been a long time since we've gotten a Square game.
I could dream.
I mean, you can, but it's worthless.
You can keep dreaming for Avengers, and I'll keep dreaming that we get Crystal Chronicles.
Yeah, good luck to both of you. some crazy news. Fortnite has been pulled from Apple's App Store and the Google Play Store due to how they updated their V-Bucks and handled direct payments in-game so that Apple and Google can't get their cut of the money with transactions. Epic has since filed suit against Apple, but the game is not available on iOS or Android. And apparently with the upcoming season, it is in jeopardy for mobile players.
Yeah,
That sucks, but I mean, at the same time, who was playing it on mobile professionally?
Well, I don't know professionally, but a lot of kids played it mobile.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bit of a complicated stance on this, and I'm not really sure like where I actually land, because on one hand, fuck Apple. On the other hand,
we need to make that a sound bite. On one hand, fuck Apple.
On the other hand,
fuck Android.
No, Android's great. I hate Android. Get fucked.
iOS here.
But on the other hand, you can't just expect platforms to let you sell their games and not sell on that platform and not benefit from it in some way. Like, so this is going to boil back to the whole thing with xCloud being not being able to be on Apple because they wanted to like review every single in-app transaction so that basically they could get money if you bought DLC or whatever for whatever games you were playing on xCloud. And like, that's shitty because they sure don't do that with like Netflix. But on the other hand, it's only fair for them to want at least some kind of cut for their maintenance of the marketplace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to counter what you said with Netflix, Netflix doesn't sell DLC for their movies.
Exactly. Exactly. But on the other side, why not then just take a small portion of the overall subscription price for letting access on xCloud? And do like they do with like Twitch bits and stuff, where they just tack it on as a little bit extra, like a tax, the Apple tax. But on the other hand, it's shitty to charge more. They charge too much more.
See, the thing is that they're looking at this like they're going about this the wrong way. All right, I mean, as you folks know, like I'm big on movies and stuff like that. Specifically through, I think Comcast now technically owns it, the Vudu platform, because Walmart sold it to Fandango, and I think Fandango is owned by Comcast. But anyway, like, so years ago, you actually used to be able to buy movies through Vudu's app, and then Apple instituted that same, you know, hey, we want a piece of the action, and Walmart was just like, yeah, no, we're not sharing our sales with anybody. And we're not telling you how much we're making, and we're not going to pay you any money for that. And so what they did is they just simply removed the ability to purchase movies through it. Mm-hmm. Now, if you went up on Vudu's website or through any of like a Roku app or something like that, sure, you could go buy a movie. That's fine. and then it'll appear in your Apple thing. So it's just like, for in all reality, for Fortnite, they should just make it that you just have to hop on a computer or hop on their website, purchase whatever you need to, and then go play the game. Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know what Epic plans to do. They're probably just going to fight it and money versus money and see which billionaire wins.
Apple.
Probably.
Like, I feel like it. There's no positive outcome either way you slice it. But Epic, very seriously, like, they had this shit planned. They knew what they were going to do. They knew that what Apple's move was going to be. And then they were ready with a lawsuit, like, 20 minutes later. So they were standing in line.
They had to have a contingency plan for that. There's no way that they didn't.
No.
Like,
I don't know. Some other news. The Embracer Group, the parent company of THQ Nordic, has acquired 4A Games, the makers of the Metro series. It will be owned through the Saber Interactive subsidiary of Embracer. Jeez. So Embracer is growing larger.
Okay.
Do I still have to attach indie dev to their games or no?
I don't think you've ever had to, but...
Oh, yeah, that's right, because usually it's THQ Nordic, so I don't ever call them indie.
Mm. Yeah.
Good point.
Last bit of news I have is that controllers for the Xbox Series X have been making their way out to retail stores, and there's two interesting things to note of this. First off, the boxes explicitly mention an Xbox Series S, which is yet to be announced. People thought we would hear about it in August. We're still, we're fucking 3 months away and we haven't heard shit about the Series S. We haven't heard shit about prices, release dates, anything.
I don't think we'll see the Series S before Christmas.
No?
No. Because they're going to want people to pay down for the big ass Xboxes right before Christmas so their kids are happy. And then the Series S is the cleanup model for whoever didn't jump in. And they're like, oh, I got my tax money. Might as well buy a cheap Xbox. And there you go.
I don't know about that. I could see the pandemic having people's finances being iffy. I could see Microsoft still throwing that out there as, hey, you could still give your kid the Xbox Series S, and they're still going to be able to play blah, 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 blah.
Halo Infinite. Like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
The medium?
Your kid can still play Hellblade.
Right. And Control? Maybe?
If you bought the Ultimate Edition.
I don't know. I think it's still forthcoming. Obviously it's forthcoming, but I think we could still see it for Black Friday.
Yeah, I think we're going to see it before Christmas. The fact that they're mentioning on these boxes, I think it's going to launch same time as the X. I think it's just going to be two different SKUs. It's going to confuse people. People are going to be like, I want the Xbox. Which one? I don't fucking know. And then they get the wrong one and people are pissed off. But the other thing to note from this reveal, the boxes had orange stickers on them that said, do not sell before November 6th. Which could be the release date for the Series X.
Yep.
It seems to fit.
Well, they have flat out said November.
And that's a Friday, and the big releases happen on Fridays anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I think November 6th seems like a solid date to plan around if you are getting a Series X. But yeah, that's the news I got.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything else.
Jacob, anything you want to talk about for the week?
The only other thing I could think of that's like relatively, it's not relatively noteworthy, just kind of out there. Going back to the whole Voodoo thing, if you're a fan of retro gaming, the movie based on It Came from the Desert is on sale this week. I still have yet to watch it. I mean, if you remember, I was going to review it for one of those, ill-fated Patreon reviews.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Patreon. Remember that?
Memories.
Yeah. Stealing. And apparently Google Podcasts are going away, and they
Google sent some... Play, I think I know Google Play Music is going away.
Yeah, that's what's going away. And they're switching over to like Google Podcasts or something. I have to figure out how to switch all that shit over. And
it's switching to, well, the music side is switching over to YouTube.
Mm.
So, I mean, you're already there.
Now, I got some kind of email about transferring my podcast over to some other, like, Google Podcasts or whatever they're doing. I don't know, but I got to figure out what the hell is going on there. And I don't know. Yeah, Jacob sigh. But, yeah, should we get to reviews?
Yeah,
sure.
We could, or we could just not, and then it being the shortest podcast yet.
No, we have reviews.
Damn it.
Yeah. First game to talk about tonight is called Swim Sanity, developed and published by Decoy Games, released August 7th on Xbox One, Switch, and PC for $24.99. Swim Sanity is a multiplayer underwater shooter with action-packed co-op and versus game modes, all supported by online and local play. You play as our hero Muba, who uses a variety of unique power-ups and weapons to survive in this aquatic world. Jacob, tell us about Swim Sanity.
Well, first off, that description that you just gave us, It says it's a multiplayer game. Technically, you can play it as single player.
Yes.
Which is pretty much the only way I got to play it, because I missed out on playing it with you and Carnage.
Yeah.
And so pretty much like all the other time, like, you know, how I usually spend my life, I was there playing with myself. I had to work that one in. Anyway. So keep in mind, I'm doing this review only from a single player aspect, just because also when I tried going online to search for a game, there wasn't any.
Yeah, so, that's something we'll get to eventually.
Which,
the downsides of the game, but
which was unfortunate. Because all right, so pretty much you're playing as what's the guy's name?
Moopa,
who looks like this cross between like Mega Man X and Bomberman X Zero, which, by the way, I think I'm literally the only person in the world who enjoyed that game.
Yeah, you are.
I honestly, if that game had a save feature, it would have been fine. But I digress. Anyway. So anyways, you're playing as this like little Mega Man-ish dude, and you're floating through the water. All right, first off, yeah, I really should back up. There's three modes. There's Adventure, which has like five different scenarios in it, like essentially pretty much just determining what you're going to be fighting as your big bad boss. There is a, you know, like a multiplayer thing where you pretty much, it's survival, where you pretty much just have to shoot up as much as you can within a certain amount of time. And then there's also Adventure Sanity, which just killed me immediately. I'm assuming it fares better with co-op, but
somewhat. It depends on the level you pick. Each of the different levels has different objectives and goals that you got to do. Like the first one is you have to outrun a giant whale that's chasing you. The one you have to survive a handful of waves of enemies and then take out a big boss. It just depends on which of the levels that you pick to do. The problem with all of them is that they are just too goddamn hard. Like I earned one achievement for completing survival wave 20 with, three other people online, including one of the devs. So that's kind of cheating right there. But like, that's one of the only achievements I got in this game was one level 20 survival achievement, because it is just so fucking hard to beat them. Like, you'll get to level 20 on a survival wave and two sharks will come out. They hit you once and you're dead. There are so many instant deaths in this game that just they pissed me off, because you would spend a half hour getting to level 20 online with Carnage and like one or two other people. And you would get to the level 20 wave and you would just die immediately, repeatedly. And it didn't matter which level you would pick. It would always be level 20. You would get wiped out. And this sucked.
Was that purpose? Like, was that on purpose or?
Well, that's where the achievements are. So I'm guessing that they made them boss waves to make them extra difficult, so you earn your achievements instead of just being like a Rad Lake where they're all freebies. which I can understand a game wanting you to earn your achievements, but this game is just, it is way too difficult. And when even the devs are getting wrecked on their own game, maybe you got to tone it down a little bit.
God damn it. Just let the devs make the game they want. Don't expect them to make it easy for you reviewer bitches.
Oh,
sorry,
God.
I had to do that.
I was going to say, at least Cole gave Joe the speech this time.
I usually get the speech, so.
You should make your own game, Joe.
I should.
Please don't. We see how your foray into creativity has gone in this world.
Ouch.
It was mean, but I also couldn't just leave it out there and not do it.
Ouch. Sorry. Oh, hey, that one hurts.
Are you still my friend?
No. Not anymore.
Wait, so does that mean I'm your number one friend now?
Well, it was nice being a co-host. See y'all at another time.
Oh, you're not going anywhere. You have games to talk about.
Ah, fuck. I tried.
So yeah, Swim Sanity. One of the other negatives that we have to get out of the way, despite the fact that this game supports online and cross-play among the platforms, it is near impossible to find games.
Has cross-play actually launched?
As far as I know, it did.
I had read online, I forget where, but it was in an article about it, that crossplay wasn't actually coming till September.
In Swim Sanity? Because Chris and I played, and he's on Steam, and I'm on Xbox, so there's definitely crossplay.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe it was old information. But
maybe it's like cross parties? Or cross system invites, maybe? Who knows? But yeah, Chris and I played together. Carnage and I played together. I don't know what platform the devs were on, though I can't comment there. But yeah, Chris and I...
Well, I couldn't find any games, period, ever, so...
I honestly think that there's just no audience there for the game yet, and I think one of the big hurdles is the fact that it's a $25 game.
Yeah, and honestly, like, this is going to be one of those, like, wow, Jacob is a really dumb reviewer kind of thing. It actually took me a few days to actually start playing the game because the description was just like, oh, well, it's multiplayer. And so I got on there, and so I'd be searching for an online game, and I was just like, oh, well, I can't find anything. I don't know how I'm supposed to do anything. And then later on, I read an article being like, well, you could go at a single player, and I'm just like, oh, well, the menu says co-op. Well, okay. So then I started playing it, but... Yeah, like the literal menu says that it's supposed to be co-op, and so, I mean, you're not going to get very far by yourself, but you can do it.
Yeah.
And granted, I did have a lot of fun. I got killed a lot, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's a blast of a game, and when I was playing with people, it was a genuinely good time. The problem is finding people to play with.
Right.
I think...
I mean, first off, not only could I not find people, I kind of wish that there was like a quick tutorial level, like just to give you like the ins and outs of like what each of the powers does and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. just so I'm not learning it on the fly. But that's personal preference.
No.
But
I think the three biggest issues with this game are difficulty, lack of audience, and price.
Yeah.
And I think those are three big hurdles that they're going to have to do something to overcome. I don't know if it's within the realm of possibility to drop this to a $15 game, but I think that would help it a lot. I think that would get more eyes on the game. That would get more hands on the game. That would get more players into the game. I doubt this is something possible, but if there's a way to get it on Game Pass, that would be incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really fun game. And I mean, at $25, I could see it being worth that. If there's enough people online to support that.
Yeah.
But
which right now there isn't. So I got to know your verdict. $25. What do you say?
I recommend the game, but not at that price.
I can agree with you on that. I would give it a try it out of our rating system. I would go with a try it. Again, the price and difficulty, I think, are the two big things that they have to work on. Just adjust game balance and see if there's anything they could do with adjusting the price of the game to make it more approachable, because I think $25 is just priced out of people's budgets right now for what's basically like a party game.
Yeah. It's a fun party game, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a blast. The controls are great. It needs an audience.
It responds well. Like, the enemies are varied. I enjoyed it. It's just there needs to be people.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jacob, I guess we'll let you get going.
Okay.
Unless you want to hang out for the other bunch of reviews, but I figured you had to get going.
No.
You sure? No. You sure?
Very.
Cole, do you want to talk him into it?
No.
Yeah.
All right, Jacob, we'll let you get going. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Well, folks, it is October. It is August 13th. It's August 13th, which means it is the 10th anniversary of Scott Pilgrim versus the World coming out. So, sorry, I realize that this isn't actually going to get posted until what, Saturday?
Yeah.
But whatever.
Proud of you.
Anyway, shut up. Anyway, so you should rewatch the movie. It's great. The soundtrack's amazing. And if you still have the video game on your Xbox 360 or PS3, fire it up. And also shoot Ubisoft and Universal Studios an email saying that you want that game either re-released or just brought back so people can buy it again.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Greatness.
I would love to see that hit backward compatibility on Xbox. That would be really nice.
I'd love to see a re-release, like with all the DLC. I'd even be game for that too. So
I would double dip on that easily.
Oh yeah, definitely. It was a great game. Yeah. Still is. So, all right.
Good stuff.
Yep.
Take care, Jacob. Have a good one.
Bye, Joe. Bye, Cole.
Bye.
All right, next game to talk about tonight is called The Mean Greens, developed by Code Headquarters and Virtual Basement, published by Virtual Basement, released August 5th on Xbox One for $19.99. Take part in history's greatest battle of green versus tan. Fight amongst and against others online. Jump, shoot, and roll your way into victory with fast-paced, objective-based gameplay. Sometimes the greatest battles are fought by the smallest of soldiers. Cole, tell us about The Mean Greens.
So, if you've ever played with little army dudes in the backyard, you're already halfway to knowing how to play the Mean Greens. that's pretty much the long and short of it. One is Team Green, one is Team Tan, and other than that, you're basically like playing Team Deathmatch, and you're thrown into different maps that resemble like the kind of scenarios kids would play with these little plastic army dudes in, right? So you may be in some matches, you may be like playing in the backyard where there's literally a garden with cauliflower you're running around in and shooting the other team. Or you may be on like the train that's decorated for Christmas that goes around the bottom of the Christmas tree. There's a ton of really good maps. All kinds of different situations that it can put you in. And there's also other ways to play besides just like, what's the word I'm looking for? Army man versus army man. Like in some game modes, you may be, one team may be the little plastic dinosaurs and they're chasing after the little army dudes. And so they can shoot you, but also you can eat them.
Nice.
It's not as graphic sounding as it seems. They basically just like run up to them and make a little chomping animation. You have to do it a few times to actually kill an opposing player. So it is online multiplayer play, though. You can't play offline, like local multiplayer, but if you just go into it and click start a match, then it's just going to randomly pick a game mode and it's going to randomly match you with other players. I do have a couple small complaints in that my team was kicking the other team's ass. I say that as nicely as possible, but I play a lot of shooters, and so like once I got my footing, I was like, well, everybody's dead. And the other team got mad, and they quit. In a lot of team-based games like this, the other team quits out, it ends the match, right? Mm-hmm. Or it gives them time to add somebody back in. Me and my teammate waited for 3 whole minutes. and it never added anybody in, and it never sent us back to the lobby. If we quit, we would have not got the win. We just had to wait. That's a long time to just sit and stare at the screen when you have no opponents, no bots, nothing.
So it was just you versus nothing and the game didn't end?
Right.
That needs to be addressed.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something that needs fixed. That was my biggest complaint. The other thing I would fuss about is I would have liked a little more control to narrow down what game mode I was going into. You could vote for the maps. It was also never, unless we played with bots, and I don't know how it decided whether or not to put bots in or not. Like I said, I would hit quick play and it'd throw me in, and I had no say over anything. If I was playing online. So then in that instance, like I said, sometimes there would be bots in the match. If it was like a normal team deathmatch, there would be bots. And then if it was something like the dinosaur game, for whatever reason, never put any bots in. A little consistency and like the option to decide I'm okay playing a game with bots if there's no people. Having that drop in, drop out multiplayer is really important. Otherwise, you're just sitting there going, well, I guess I'm going to look at this head of cauliflower till the game ends, which is kind of what happened. And that's unfortunate because I think the concept is super cool. And if there was a bigger player base getting involved, at no point did I ever have more than two other human players with me.
Wow.
Ever. And so, like, it really needs a bigger player base to get its footing and justify, you know, diving into it, because it can be fun if you've got the team there to actually play against. And the bots also, they need some work. They cheat. Like, there should be no reason at all that four bots in a free-for-all match, it shouldn't be four bots and then two human players and then four more bots. It was like, then I couldn't be that bad at an over-the-shoulder shooting game. I play a lot of them. So the bots need a little bit of balance, but also they need the option to be there when people aren't. But beyond that, it's a super cool concept. I just don't know how to get more people on board with it.
Well, at $20, what are your thoughts?
At least it's not 25.
It seems like that's the theme so far for the week, is just multiplayer games that don't have an audience yet.
Yeah. And it happens, especially because we play this shit early a lot of times, or yeah, we're right there at the cusp of when one is released. And so it can be a little more difficult to judge if it's going to have that player base. I hope the Mean Greens does get its footing, and I hope they keep polishing it and they do some work with that multiplayer, because I really want to give it a buy it, but as it sits, I just have to go, it's a try it, but be aware of what you're getting.
No.
So.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called The Ambassador: Fractured Timelines, developed by Tiny Dino Games, published by the Quantum Astrophysicists Guild, released August 13th on Xbox One, Switch, and PC for $14.99. The Ambassador: Fractured Timelines is a twin-stick fantasy shooter centered around the ability to stop time. Cole, tell us about it.
So, this is a top-down, twin-stick roguelike, where you play as a little bearded dude. I believe his name was Gregor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to roll with it. Gregor.
Yeah, I remember that because the PR dude from Head Up Games, his name is Gregor, and it reminded me of that.
Ah!
That's how stupid my brain works.
Hey, whatever gets you there. But you play as the little, you know, bearded tough guy, Gregor, and Gregor's got some special abilities. For one, he can slow down time. For two, he's got pretty solid aim, you know, twin stick. So he can knock some shit out. But he gets sent on a special task because that's what happens. And also, it's a roguelike, and I'm going to be perfectly honest. I'm like, yep, there's a story. Meow, let me go kill things. So I was like, yep, kill things, because they said so. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So the whole special story around why he is doing what is, I don't know, I'm here to shoot things. You go through the training session. Basically, you're told how to use your ability to slow down time. And this is also how you will, like, interact with the world and move things around. There's some special rules. You start off with just a spear. For whatever reason, this is my biggest beef with the game. For whatever reason, there is no close range, short range, melee versus long range. So I've been playing a lot of Undermine lately. And Undermine, you only have the one weapon, right? You have a pickaxe and you either swing it for close range or you fling it for long range. Great. But in Ambassador Order Fractured Timelines, you don't have that option. You just fling it. Even if it's a spear, even if it's a sword, he just slings it. Something gets up on you, you have no close range melee at all. You just sling it and hope it hits. And that's for better or worse. Sometimes you will have upgraded weapons that, like, only do damage on their way back as opposed to their way out. So if you've got something running up on you and is close to you, that can be a problem. However, sometimes you get a crossbow, and then you can just shoot shit anyway and be like, whatever, I don't care. Can you tell what my favorite weapon was?
Yeah.
I had the crossbow that shot two bolts, and so I was just like, pew-pew, 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 the whole way. I was happy. It was fine. So you do have two weapons, though. Even though you are limited to, like, just throwing shit, you do have the two weapons. One of which is your normal, your spears, your swords. We also have a magic weapon that uses mana. Is that how it's pronounced?
That's how I say it.
It's mana.
I say mana. Some people say mana.
Weirdos.
Yeah.
So you also have mana, and you can swap over to, like, your wand, and sometimes it shoots, sometimes it throws. Depends on what kind of wands you've picked up along your journey. I will say, even though I have said that this is a roguelike, don't let that put you off on playing it if you do like Twin Sticks but are afraid of roguelikes, because a lot of people are.
I don't know if I would call this a roguelike, because isn't it on set stages?
Hold up. Hear me out.
Okay.
It is. It has two modes. So it's a roguelike, but it's not. But it is procedurally generated. Let me back up. So you have two modes. One is the traditional roguelike, that hard as shit, you die, you start that shit over, get fucked, you've lost it all, right?
Okay.
But there is an assisted mode. And if you are anti-roguelike, as some people I know are, you can play on assisted mode, and the game does not penalize you in any way whatsoever for doing so.
Ah.
Fuck yes. So here's what happens in assisted mode. Rather than getting your rear end handed to you on a silver platter, like in a roguelike mode, if you die, you start the level right back over at the very beginning. You have all of your shit still, and your health bar's full. Like nothing happened. I think it's absolutely fantastic that they have included this assisted mode, because there are a lot of people who get overwhelmed with roguelikes, or who are just terrified of fucking with that genre, and like, I don't make any progress if I'm dying all the time. Whereas, you know, Ambassador of Fractured Timelines is like, fuck it, we just want you to play the game and enjoy it. And if you're dying and you don't want to die, here, take assisted mode. Now it's no big deal. If you die, it's like nothing happened. I am fully supportive of that. That is an accessibility thing that every fucking game should have. But yeah, you do have a set of levels. You go through a portal, and then there are a series of levels tied to that portal. You clear all of the enemies out in a stage. The portal will open up. You can go through it. If you die and you're on assisted, the enemies you've already cleared are still gone when you come back. No punishment, no judgment. You just clear out whoever the fuck's left, ever how many times it takes you to do it. And then once everybody is clear, the portal opens up, and you jump in, and you go to the next level. If you are hardcore and you're like, fuck it, watch this, then you can do it on roguelike and die and do the same five levels 15 times until you get the hang of them. You know, whichever one suits you. I played it on assisted because I like roguelikes, but I ain't always got time for that.
Yeah.
As you progress through the levels and you do better, it's not like a normal roguelike and like you would go to a chest and get items and decide how you're going to build. You go through the portal and you get an item once the levels are completed. And then you can decide whether or not you're going to equip it and use it. And you can, at any point in the game, press Y and swap out your loadout, whatever you're using. So if you are using something that only lets you have 3 hearts, and you're like, fuck, I'm dying all the time. I wish I had my armor so that I had 4 hearts instead. Then, like, you can just go swap out your armor and be like, never mind, I'm good now. Got 4 hearts. Let's go. And then carry on. Once you go through a certain amount of levels that are tied to the portal that you are in, you have a boss battle. Once you whoop that boss's ass, should you be lucky enough to do it, then you go back to the hub world, go through another portal, and start another set of levels. It's all well and good. I will say I do have one complaint, and that is sometimes the mini bosses and the bosses require certain techniques that even though you learn it in the tutorial, it's not something you use frequently enough that when you come in contact with a boss that you go, oh yeah, this is how I defeat it. And so you can kind of get your ass whooped a few times before it dawns on you, oh, hey, I need to freeze time and hit this one rock. And now I can attack the big giant boulder guy who's smashing my head into the ground. So it can be a bit of a pain in the ass when you're trying to figure out what is actually the step to defeating an enemy while, you know, they're just constantly waylaying into you. And you can't do shit about it because everything you try to hit them with just comes up with a little shield icon. So that's really my only gripe about the game, is that I wish it were a little more clear about how you actually defeated some of the monsters rather than just being like, hey, remember that time 14 levels back where we showed you you could pause time and hit something but that you haven't used for the last 87 levels? We want you to do that now. that's really all I got to gripe about. Otherwise, I really enjoyed the game. I had a good time with it. I could easily see myself sitting down and playing it more. I'm actually curious about something because there's an achievement for beating all the levels without consuming food. So if you take a hit and you can hunt rabbits that are found in the different levels. Kill the rabbit, it gives you food. You got 2 food, you can fill the heart container, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is really fucking awesome, honestly. But if you're playing it on assisted, it lets you go through the portals and it automatically refills your heart containers every time you go through the portal. And I'm wondering if you can, like, cheese that achievement and not eat because you just... gonna die. Like, does it count against you if you die even if you don't eat? Because when you come back after dying, you have full health too.
Well, that's your homework for next week, I guess.
Well, forget you told me to do it, but that's I'm super curious. I'm like, because that's the only achievement where I was like, well, there's that chance at a completion. And then after I started playing on assisted, I was like, oh, I bet I can tease this.
I'm surprised. I thought you were going to gripe about the visuals.
It's pixel art. It's fine.
The whole time I'm playing it, I'm like, Cole's going to say this is ugly pixel art. She's going to bitch that this is ugly pixel art. She's going to bitch. I know she's going to bitch. And you didn't bitch. You threw me off.
I mean... how many times do I got? As soon as anybody who's heard me with these is like sees the game, they're gonna be like, "Oh yeah, I bet Cole's got something to say about that one." And it's like, well, it takes away the fun about it if you already know I'm gonna do it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely got an 8-bit appeal to it.
Yeah, it's not my style. I think they did a fine job for what it is. It's just not my preference, but you know, eh.
All right, well, next game to talk about is called Brunch Club, developed by Foggy Box Games, published by Yogscast Games, released August 11th on Xbox One for $14.99, A 1-4 player cooperative and competitive physics-based food frenzy party game. Working together and communication is the key to getting the best times on the leaderboards. And No Time for Games coming in, dropping 264 biddies. What an oddly specific number. George, take it away.
Dropping bits!
Thank you, No Time, for the biddies and your odd number, but I appreciate it. Thank you as always.
No time's helping you get Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but my counter just broke completely and went to 500%.
Something tells me you need a little more than 264 biddies.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened there. So I will have to fix that. But yeah, Brunch Club. Tell us about Brunch Club now that I've rattled on and on about biddies for how long.
So have you ever played I Am Bread and thought, I need this to be harder? That's what they throw at you with Brunch Club. They're like, we're going to start you off nice and easy. We're going to give you a level. You can go in with some buddies or by yourself. And we're just going to ask you to make us some toast. Okay? But you're never really just making toast, are you? So you have your nice little table set up. The toaster's there. I don't know who the fuck leaves the toaster sitting on the table, but whatever, it's there. And then you got your plate with some bread, and you got another plate with some more bread, and then you got your butter knife and your butter, because what's the point of a butter knife if you ain't got no butter for it? And then your goal is to hobble your bread off the plate and into the toaster. This part is very much I Am Bread. You can hover over it, you pick it up, and then you're basically just walking it with your thumbsticks, hoping some way, somehow, to get that shit in there. You can make your foods and your utensils and whatever you're able to interact with and pick up, you can make it jump a little bit by pulling the right trigger, which is helpful, but you're still going to just, like, struggle. The whole time we were trying to make toast, like, we are using a house plant to try to make a ramp for the bread to scooch up to get into the toaster. And then, of course, you inevitably hit the toaster's lever and knock it down, sets off the timer, and you ride as you're about to get your bread in there, pop! It all goes up in the air and you got to start all over again. It was incredibly hard to make toast. And so then once we like made three things of toast and we were like, fuck it, that's close enough. Let's do the next level. Then it's like, hey, have you ever wanted to fry some eggs and some steak? Because, you know, steak and eggs. And do it while a laser is sniping at you from outside your kitchen window. No, I haven't, but here we are. I'm trying to figure out how to crack an egg, which, by the way, shout out to number two with her out-of-the-box thinking, because I never would have tapped an egg with a butter knife to break it. I was picking the eggs up and dropping them in the pan, trying to break them, because when I cook, I tap an egg on the side of the skillet. You can't do that in this game. You don't have that kind of flexibility.
No.
So I was like trying to drop it on things, going some way, somehow, I'm going to crack this egg. I couldn't do it. And then I'm like passing the controller around. All the kids are playing it because it's a kid-friendly game. You know, minus the sniper. But it's kid-friendly. And she just like picks up the butter knife and taps the egg and breaks it. And I'm like, what? Never. What is this sorcery? And she's like, why didn't you think of that? I'm like, why did you watch me and not tell me to think of that? What the fuck? All I wanted to do was make some eggs. It was fantastic and also incredibly frustrating. So, yeah. You have to figure out different ways to maneuver around, make shit happen so that you can put together whatever the order at the top of the screen is for the level that you're working on. And you do have extra difficulties that come into play. Like, if you're playing it on a harder difficulty, you'll have a sniper sniping shit out of your hand. If you're trying to, like, carry the eggs to the skillet And then the sniper snipes the egg, and you gotta go back and get more eggs because you just lost your egg to the sniper laser.
I just can't get over that there's a fucking sniper.
And he just picks stuff up out of your head. I'm telling you. It was magic. Exactly what my house sounded like. It was so frustrating. So that's just the main course, as they call it in the game. Everything is a food pun. Even the achievements are food puns. But there's also an arcade mode, and then there are versus modes, so you can play competitively as well as cooperatively. It's incredibly difficult. It's one of those games where you're just like, I don't know that I'm even supposed to be good at it, because even when you're playing on easier difficulties, everything is timed. They do give you unlimited lives, at least, because if you're playing on the harder difficulties and like that sniper takes your egg out, then you lose a life and you can only do that a couple times and you have to start all over and give up. But if you are playing on the easier difficulties, then you have unlimited lives, but that stupid timer is still there. And most of the times you're limited to about somewhere between 3 and 5 minutes for most of the levels. There is one that's like, you have to make an ice cream sandwich in 60 seconds.
Hmm.
That shit's tough. I'm like, all you can do is focus on that clock and go, I don't even know where my jam is. So, the kids just had an absolute blast giggling over it and playing it. I will say, from an achievement standpoint, it's kind of a nightmare. Like, it literally is just, well, the achievement to fail 50 times is probably pretty easy.
Oh, God.
You're going to fail a lot. But then there's one for like buttering 500 toasts, and you got to make the fucking toast before you can butter it. You know how the whole game is how hard it is to make the fucking toast. Why are you pressuring me like this?
Oh, Jesus.
Had a good time. Just wish the achievements were a little easier.
Yeah. Well, $15 on it. What are you thinking?
I think $15, if you've got people around you to play it with, you've got family, especially if you've got kids who, if they enjoyed I Am Bread, and are willing to have the patience to like go into a game like this and try to figure out how to actually accomplish it, then they're going to have a good time with it. It can be a bit of a put off for kids that like aren't familiar with games. Then they would get just stressed out and be like, I can't do this.
Just freaking out over making bread and toast.
The sniper keeps killing my eggs.
I can't get over the fact that there's a sniper in a cooking game.
I was just like, the fucking what?
That is beautiful.
It's just the red laser coming in out from out the window. And it'll just pop shit off. And you're like, okay then, well, I ain't never getting that butter knife back.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Next game to talk about is called Zero Strain, developed by Kayo Maris, published by East Asia Soft, released August 12th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $9.99. Move, shoot, and dodge in this hyper-fast top-down shooter. Descend into the depths of uncharted dimensions and destroy everything in your path. Cole, tell us about Zero Strain.
So, Zero Strain is a top-down shooter, and I want to point something out. Right off the bat, is that this game is very neon, very flashy, very bright, and very seizure-inducing, if that's a problem you've got for you. So take that into consideration. Like, if constant flashing or bright neon aesthetics are a problem, play something else. Because that's all Zero Strain is.
I didn't notice any, like, real strobe effects that would potentially cause a seizure, but that's just me. I might have missed it.
Some of the boss battles.
Mm.
Yeah, they get rough. I couldn't play it with the light off. I don't have seizures, but, like, I'll get really bad headaches and get nauseated with a lot of flashing light.
No.
And, yeah, I couldn't play it with the lights off. I had turned the light on to minimize the effect. So that it wouldn't bother me. But that's definitely something to take into consideration if it's a problem for you. Beyond that, It's a top-down shooter. You have a spaceship. There's a couple of them that you can choose from. They all have their pros and cons. They all have a main weapon, a couple of specials, and then like a passive ability as well. So the one that you choose may play a little differently than the other ones. If I'm gonna jump right out of the gate here. Feel a little bad about it. I'm going straight into the thing I didn't like. Your primary weapon is overwhelmingly weak to the point that you're forced to kind of use your specials if you're going to actually make any kind of progress in the game. I don't particularly like that type of gameplay. If I want to just smash through and only use my primary, that's the reason it's a primary, right?
Yeah.
And a special weapon should be something that just gets you out of a jam. Whereas Zero Strain is like, nope, you ain't getting anywhere unless you use some special weapons. Sucks to be you. Even like the little, like I could even get it if it was just a problem with the mini bosses and stuff. But even in the tutorial, it's like, no, you have to use your special weapons just to get past these orbs that can't even shoot back. That's a gripe on my part. Other people aren't bothered by that. But as far as like when I go into twin stick shooting gameplay, if I don't ever hit the special button, I should still be able to at least clear the board. I always go for like, that might be part of it too, though, because I always go for like the slower ships with like bigger, more health and stuff like that,
yeah,
or that can heal themselves. And so the fact that the primary weapon is so underutilized was even bigger of an issue because I felt like my specials weren't as useful because they focused on healing me more than destroying other shit. It looks great. Despite the quirks in the gameplay with like the primary being weaker, it plays fairly well. I will say the control scheme is odd, and I don't think I ever got the hang of it beyond just I just started, whenever a meter was full, I would smash a button.
Yeah.
And hope I got it. It happens so fast with the gameplay, because it does have that schmuppy bullet hell thing going for it, that you don't really have time to like strategize how you're going to go into anything. It's just like, well, that button's full, hit it. And hope for the best if you're going to get through. It's not the best twin stick bullet hell.
It's not even a twin stick the way it controls.
It is. Well, and that's the thing that kind of bugged me about it too, though, right? Because I said the controls were kind of like, I want to use it like a twin stick and I want to play it like a twin stick, and it doesn't really go along with it as well as I would like. Because it is the left trigger and X, left trigger and A, and I don't know. I was incredibly frustrated with the controls.
I wish all the special attacks were just, you know, the X is your primary, have the other three face buttons be the three special attacks instead of having to hold the trigger and then hit a button.
Yeah, it was really hard to just like manage how you actually aimed, and it's kind of why I fell into the, well, let's just hit a button and hope for the best. It does do a good job of like auto aiming or targeting certain enemies, especially ones that are particularly close to you, which is helpful, but again, you don't really have the time or means to strategize to do anything proper with it anyway.
No.
And it's like, well, it's marked on that one. I guess I'm pressing left trigger and A. Yeah, good luck. But I didn't enjoy it as much as I wanted to because I didn't feel like I was doing anything beyond just randomly mashing the buttons and trying to clear.
No. Well, as it stands for $10, what do you think of it?
I can give it a try. I think there are certainly people who are going to enjoy it despite the issues with the control scheme. There are people who are going to take that control scheme and be like, whatever, this is boss. Every game should be like this. And that's fine. It's just that I'm not that person.
Yeah, I can roll with a try it on this one. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's not going to change the world. That's for sure.
Yeah. But yeah. Or at least I hope not, because I didn't like that control scheme at all.
It'd be nice to see like a more traditional twin stick control scheme to it, where steer with one direction, shoot with the other, and then use the the bumpers as your special attacks, but you know, they went the way they went, and that's the decision they got to live with.
I wonder if it's any different on PC, that if it's more viable as a twin stick on like a PC platform versus controller. That's just me thinking out loud.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was just like the port to a controller is what got lost in translation. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah, true. Oh, well, next game to talk about is called Lin Path of Orchards, developed by Fanus Games, published by Carbon Fire Studio, released August 14th on Xbox One and Switch for $4.99. Step out of your conventional platforming habits and delve into the dynamic and rotating world of Lin, a modern puzzle platformer set in a fantastic and mysterious ancient world. Cole, tell us about this one.
So, you know how I often say, especially with platformers, that they don't break the mold for their genre?
Yeah.
Lin does. Lin just takes that mold, rips it in half, and throws it in the trash, and is like, bitch, we're here. So, as a platformer, you will be facing different scenes, because that's how platformers roll. And the objectives are pretty simple. There will be a collectible that you can get. I forget the name of it. I have to be perfectly honest. I played this like a couple weeks ago. So if I don't remember all the fine details, I really apologize. I got into it one night and I spent like 8 hours just busting ass through it. And then if I remember anything, I'm doing good. I literally have screenshots to help me remember what I'm talking about. But you play as Lin. And you are in an orchard, and each one takes you to different levels so that you do the platforming stuff. So the way that it works out is that each scene is laid out. They start off pretty mild. It's literally like walk across the beam and go in the door, right? And there will be a couple of different collectibles for each level. There's usually three objectives per level. One is just to get through it. With the orbs, one is to get the, I can't remember, it's like elder something. God damn it. Oh, it's going to bug me for the rest of the night.
Elder Scrolls. Where's Chris? You. Is it?
No. But I just wanted to pretend it was to let my brain have it, okay? So I don't focus on it for the next 3 days. it's like elder or Elder, fuck, I don't know. Elder something. Anyway, Elder Songs? Maybe?
Anyway.
It glows. It's gold. It's on every level. You can't miss it. There's one for collecting it. There will be a couple of other little collectibles that kind of look like glowing orbs hanging around that you can get to. And usually it'll be like, collect all the little glowing orbs, collect the one special glowing orb, and then beat the level in X amount of moves. You can beat the level and not get any of those. And the game doesn't care. It's like, good job. Get out of here. Next. you can go back eventually and like try to get the ones. And it doesn't care if you do it all in one fell swoop. It doesn't care if you do it over several different attempts. It doesn't care. It just wants you to do it. At some point, when you got a few minutes, go collect these orbs. And like I said, you start off very basic. It'll be like, just walk across the bar and go in the door and you're done. That's it. Level over. Next level. Well, this time the level might be tilted a little. And then the next level after that might have the level, the bar actually kind of seesawing. And then eventually it starts to rotate on an axis and you need to be able to jump around and stay on it even when it's doing a full 180 or 360, you know, depending on whatever the layout of the level is. You do have a couple little tricks in your arsenal. You can double jump, which is helpful. You can dash, which is also helpful. And you also have the ability when you're falling to change the direction that you're falling in. So if you're facing to the left and you're falling, but you've got an orb to the right, you can just press right on the D-pad and Lynn's direction will change. And then she will fall a little more to the right instead of just going in the same path that she was. This is extra helpful with like getting in between of platforms when they're rotating so that you can, you know, maintain your momentum from the fall without having to sacrifice your double jump or your dash. Managing your moves and how to maintain momentum in this game is everything. Because eventually you don't just have normal beams for platforms. Eventually you will have boxes that move around, or you will have platforms that disappear, or there's some really wild shit that starts to become the situation that you are trying to navigate.
I want to see that in the trailer for the game. Some really wild shit.
It is. Something tells me that's not in line with the aesthetic they're going for, and it probably wouldn't fly. But it really is. Like, there were levels where it would start, and I would just be like, the fuck am I doing here? You just have no idea how you're supposed to overcome it. And then it gets to a point where you get better at it, because initially your reaction is, what do I even do to get to the door? And then you go from, what do I do to get to the door, to how can I get to the door and get a couple of the shinies? How do I get to the door and do it in a certain amount of moves? Very easy to replay. You don't always know what the exact requirements are for a level when you're playing it until after you beat the level. So, like, if it's got a requirement for beating it in a certain amount of moves, you don't know what that par for moves is until you've beat it. But then at that point, there were a lot of times where I was like, I would beat a level and it'd be like, oh, you took 4 moves. You needed to do it in 3. And I was like, well, fuck, if I'd known I needed to do it in 3, I would have been a little more careful. And then you could just press the restart button and do it in 3. Everything is very quick, very rapid fire. It's at a button's press. The levels literally only take a few seconds at a time. Even when you don't know what you're doing and you're just trying to bust through them, it's just a few seconds. And then you're like, I can't believe I figured out where I was supposed to go and got through it that quickly. But you feel like a badass because you're like, I did that shit in like 2 seconds. But that also plays into the pressing restart over and over and over again, because you're like, it only takes me 2 seconds. Let me see if I can do it with one less move this time. You know, it's very well designed to keep you going back at it to get just a little better. It does get insane, and it gets incredibly wild and difficult, but it's enjoyable. And there was never a time where, even though it was difficult, it never felt impossible. Even if it was like, I'm not getting all those shinies, but I can at least beat it and appreciate it for that. I would like to see some more accessibility options, especially in a game like this. I have a tendency to want to like compare it to Celeste, even though it's more of like a static puzzle platformer in one static scene. I still like think of how Celeste had all of the accessibility options for endless double jumps and things like that. I'd like to see a mode like that for Lynn, so that you could practice it and get a little better at it without having to worry about failure, or even just be able to get through it if you're struggling. Because some of these levels definitely require some speedy inputs that people like me may struggle with.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like for $5, it's a winner.
Yeah, at $5, I can't say anything other than buy it, especially if you're into platformers and you like that kind of challenge. I mean, if my biggest gripe is I wish it were easier for dumb fucks like me, then you know, that's a pretty good sign.
Yeah, especially at only $5.
Yeah.
I love cheap games.
Yeah.
Love them.
It's so pretty, too. I didn't rant enough about how pretty this game is. It has a very minimal pastel, like, it's such a calming aesthetic. And then at the same time, you're just like screaming because you can't get to the damn gate.
All right, moving on. We are swapping out Cole for a good friend. Tim Ekibis is joining right now. Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay, even though my child just lost the zip to one of his Beyblades, like just like flung it across the basement, and it's black, and we'll basically just never find it again.
Oh, no.
I mean, someone will find it, like, when I die and they're cleaning out my house. That's when they'll probably find it. And whatever.
Hey, then it might be a little late, but you're never too old for Beyblades.
I guess not. Yeah, Beyblade is evergreen, apparently.
Yeah. How you doing?
Doing all right. Doing okay.
Ready to talk about a video game?
I guess I had again. Or maybe tomorrow.
What? No, we're not going to the store tomorrow. He keeps talking like we're going to go right back to Target to get him another one, and that is not what is going to happen.
No.
No, that is not going to happen.
When?
Like I told you, bud, we'll take another sweep after we're done with this, okay?
Okay.
Okay, but that's why you got to be careful. Like, seriously, I don't know how, like, he keeps acting like it just kind of spontaneously, like, bounced out of the container and flew across the room, but that don't add up. That don't add up.
Hey, weird things happen. I remember setting my phone on the ledge to my bed, and I turned just the right way that it fell down in between the wall and the bed all the way down to the floor.
Yeah.
And
some, like, havoc physics took over.
Yeah. There's no way that should have happened. Yep, blows my mind.
Physics.
Yay. But yeah, do you want to talk about a game?
Yeah, let's talk about a game.
All right, the next game to talk about is called Wide Awake Pip, developed by Corona Reef IO. It's available on iOS and Android for $1.99. Wide Awake Pip is a narrative-based game that I created for my three young kids. They're lucky to have my brilliant children's books with stunning illustrations and beautiful stories, but we found that there were relatively few kids' apps to equal them. Wide Awake Pip is my attempt to close that gap a little. Obviously, those are words from the creator.
Not Joe.
Yeah, not me. I did not create this myself. That would be amazing if I did. That would take actual effort, and I don't do that in my life. So, Tim, tell us what's going on with this game.
What's going on with Wide Awake Pip? So, yeah, Richard is playing. This is like his fourth time playing it now. So, I mean, I guess that should tell you something right now or right there. Richard, what's Wide Awake Pip about?
Catching a butterfly.
Catching a butterfly. I mean, that's one thing you do. Who is Pip? What is Pip?
A squirrel.
Okay, yes. Pip is a squirrel. And what happens to Pip?
Tries to get the butterfly.
We're very big on this butterfly part whenever that happens. But it's like, I don't know, Pip is like awake, hence Wide Awake Pip, and tries to like wake up his dad, and then ends up like falling into a stream and goes down a waterfall and ends up very far away and kind of has a bit of an adventure. So yeah, I guess in the parlance of video games, I would consider Wide Awake Pip to be something of a visual novel. It is, you know, where he's playing it right now on the iPad. And it's just, you know, pretty simple touch controls. It also has speech activation.
Interesting.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, they got microphones in these things. Oh no, he's sad.
Yeah, they got lost.
So that only takes place at certain moments in the game, like when you're like early on, you're trying to wake up your dad. You can yell at him to wake up. So it's only at like certain moments in the game. So yeah, Pip goes on this adventure, and it's pretty simple. I mean, the game is probably like 20 minutes long ish. I think, as he goes through the woods and, like, meets, you know, a frog and a bird and catches the aforementioned butterflies.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot about the butterflies.
Yeah, it's basically, okay, it's basically, oh, shoot, where'd my train of thought go? Yeah, it's like a visual novel children's book, basically. So, yeah, like, the language and the story is pretty simple. Okay, now we're helping a frog catch flies. And, you know, the frog is sitting at the bottom of the screen. You just tap on the fly, and it counts it. And there's, like, a nice circle that appears around places you need to touch. So it's never, like, you know, a child isn't going to get lost trying to figure out, like, okay, where on the screen do I need to touch in order to move this story forward? It's always pretty apparent. The text of the story pops up in the upper left, and sometimes, I mean, now he knows to look up there. At first, like, he was just kind of like tapping through and not really noticing the words because they were a little bit up out of the way. Tap to swim. There you go, bud. Tap to swim. Pip's swimming. So there's a couple segments like this. You know, he has to navigate Pip like around this river, and there's, you know, bends and turns in it. So it's not just like a straight tap or straight there. I guess there's some complexity to it, one could say, but like just enough, you know. It's not like it's trying to test his like platforming or finger bending skills. It's just like, okay, you will figure this out. You can handle these basic interactions with a device to get through there. And yeah, so like I said, this is his fourth time playing through it. So yeah, for $2, like, that's some pretty solid entertainment for a child there, I think. That's like over an hour of entertainment for him. But, you know, you look at it like it is when you're buying a book. Like, you know, if your child has a book that he likes, they're going to read it over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like kind of like that case with Wide Awake Pip is I can just pop it in front of him and he's going to want to just play through it, read through it.
It's just another really good book.
Yeah, it's just another good book just presented in a different format. So, you know, and it's also, you know, to that end, it's perhaps a better use of their screen time, you know, so it's not just like some mindless game and it's not YouTube videos. There's a little bit of reading, you know, there's some funny moments. Richard, what do you think of it?
He tries to go around to the other cliff.
Oh, he's trying to go across to the other cliff. Don't forget your frog, buddy. But do you like the game? Do you like Wide Awake Pip?
Yep.
Why do you like it?
Because he goes to the other, because I tap to the other things.
He's just saying what he likes is the thing that he's doing right now, but that's children for you.
Yes.
But
I love it.
You have fun playing it? Do you think the game is funny?
Yeah.
You think it's funny?
Really?
And there's a monkey, so we're hanging out with the monkey now.
Do you think the game is worth $2?
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely worth $2. I mean, like, for an adult, no, it's not for adults. It's for children. It's for kids probably right around kindergarten age to have, like, a little storybook app that they can play with. But yeah, for $2, it's well worth it. My main quibble with the game is, at least playing it on iPad, it's played horizontally and it will only rotate one way, which is not the way that my stand for my iPad sits, and that's kind of annoying. So I can't just like set it on the table for him to play, and I don't know why it doesn't rotate in that direction. It makes no sense to me. That's kind of like the only thing that bugs me at all about it. But, I mean, it's not bothering him. He's just sitting here with it in his lap, in my lap, tapping away and playing the game. He's played through, like, half of it here while we've been talking. Now he's crawling around getting fruit on the side of a tree. It's a very diverse fruit tree. Coconuts, grapes, oranges, apples, like, berries. I don't think there's a... This might seem a little unrealistic. Points deducted for lack of realism.
Now, does that change your rating now?
No, it doesn't. It's well worth buying for someone with kids, and it's on Android and iOS. So, yeah. iOS version reviewed.
Okay, watch this. This is going to be funny, right?
Oh, what happens? So they just ate a bunch of fruit. Is Monkey going to eat the orange?
No, it's going to splat on his face.
It's going to splat on his face. Yep.
And then he gets more.
Yeah, that's Wide Awake Pip.
All right, final game to talk about tonight is called Darkarta, A Broken Hearts Quest, developed by 2D Fruity Interactive, available free-to-play on Android in Early Access. Haunted by strange curses from her orphanage days, Mary never knew the story of her dark past until the day she received that strange, mysterious letter. Never in her wildest dreams did she fear that fate would wipe away the peaceful serenity of her life. Serlina covered this one because she has an Android, and she actually enjoys playing phone games, unlike you.
Weirdo.
Yeah. which she addresses in her review, by the way. So let's get to it. She says, greetings, SML friend and fam. Huh, singular friend.
Aww.
That hurts.
Which one of us is the not friend?
I don't know. But shout out to No Time for subbing to us for 28 months in a row. Holy goodness. Shit. Pernell, take it away.
Fucking yeah.
That's right, Pernell. Anyway, Darkarda, A Broken Hearts Quest, Serlina wrote in her review. This is what she's got to say. Greetings, SML friend and fam. It is Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Darkarda, A Broken Hearts Quest for Android. Developed by Tutti Frutti Interactive, Darkarda is a hidden objects game where you must click to discover tools, tricks, and other various things that you'll need to progress in order to uncover the story and find out who Darkarda actually is. Let's get into the review. First of all, I'm actually surprised I got this one. Hidden object games are usually Cole's bag, but since she's not a phone gamer, it was passed down to me, so suck it, Cole. Also, still love you. False open over. Time for the real beginning. In Darkarda, you are Mary, a woman with a husband named James and a little girl named Sophia, and you are visiting your grandfather in India. You receive a strange note from him saying that you are not an orphan and you're going to investigate. Then shit hits the fan. A dude on a flying buffalo comes swooping down, snatches your kid, capsizes your boat, injures your hubby, and tries to kill you. What? Luckily enough, you manage to wash up on shore next to your unconscious husband, and the game begins. The story is absolutely gonzo. There are so many insane twists and turns to it that you'll find yourself engrossed in it and turned off by it at the same time. I was like, none of this makes sense, but I need to know more, and I need to know it now. The characters that are introduced to you are done at weird intervals, and they aren't really explained either. There are cutscenes to help the story along, but they left me with more questions than answers. Whatever, there's a story there, and you can get lost in it if you want. The graphics are passable. This is a phone game, so it's not going to blow you away. I did like the art direction. It made me feel like this was happening in the 1920s era, which is the time frame of the game. All the objects, once you find them, are clearly defined and unmistakable, which I appreciate. Everything looks like it's supposed to be there, and the objects where you find them make sense. I like that. Let's talk about the gameplay. It's hidden objects, y'all. You click on the screen to find things that you need to solve puzzles. See that animal over there? He's hungry. Find some food and he'll move, allowing you to get where he was. Nothing too crazy there, though I do like how all the puzzles are connected to each other. You can't really progress until you do things in the correct order. Also, some of the puzzles can be done in match 3 form. You can swap over and knock it out. And if you're really good at that, which I am, by the way, I found the match 3 to be easier for me, but I still like solving the puzzles in the traditional way as well. There are morphing objects to find, but they're only collectibles, so that's really nice. Also, you can gather memories as collectibles, and that gives you more insight into the story. One more thing to note, there are achievements in this game, which is cool. I got quite a few of those, but there are some things that are going to be beyond my ability, more than likely. Darkarda, A Broken Hearts Quest is available right now on Android for free $99, and should you pick it up? Yeah, fuck it, why not? It's free. The story's a bit on the crazy side, the art style is decent, but the gameplay is super solid, and it's a good way to burn some time if you got some extra. Sounds good to me. Seems yep, like you missed good. Out.
So it does sound that way. But I could install it because it's free.
Yeah, it's free, so you could give it a try and talk about it next week on the show.
Nah, it's good.
All right, well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one.
We did.
Thanks to Jacob for being here and doing his review.
No thanks, Jacob.
Possibly thanks to Tim if he was here. I don't know. We'll see. If he wasn't here, happy birthday, Tim. Hope you had a good one.
Happy birthday.
It was his birthday this week. And guess whose birthday it is today? Fucking Thursday when we're recording.
Who?
CJ.
What?
So happy birthday to CJ and Tim, who both celebrated birthdays this week. SML birthdays.
Well then.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Fucking bananas. Do you have any final words to end the show?
No.
Fucking bananas.
Mega Man's going to get you. Mega Man's going to get you. Mega Man's going to get you. Mega Man's going to get you.